All right, I usually open up in prayer, and it's telling me it's 9 o'clock. All right, but Ramir, would you mind opening up in prayer? Since you're the only gentleman here, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, great day, very thankful for this time and opportunity to learn more about how to be a leader, Lord. I pray that you just help us, Lord. Help be with Mrs. McKeever, Lord, and fill her with your spirit, Lord. And I pray that you just help us, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your wisdom that she's about to share with you, Lord. Thank you, love you, praise you, all through such a sin.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Well, I'm assuming all of you in here really enjoy teaching children or maybe adults. Anyone in here like that? You ever use visuals with adults? Well, sometimes we need it. But anyway, I'm very thankful to be here. I'm going to stick to my notes. I'm going to try to stick to my notes. And I almost wish that all of you over there would move over here for some reason. With that, no. Okay, I'm getting direction back there saying no. All right, so being able to teach is one thing, but being able to teach others how to teach another is another. But thankfully, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, we all know God strengthens us, but he says here in this verse, that it's the things that we do through him that strengthens us. And so I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Last week I attended the BIMI USA field conference in Missouri, and I sat under a good teaching of Dr. J.B. Godfrey, who taught on faith. Faith is doing what you've never done before. I said, thank you, Lord, because I'm going to do something I've never done before. Pastor gives me an outline to teach, or a similar outline, and it wasn't what I had prepared. And I knew I was going to be teaching, but then I said, okay, Lord, now it's up to you, because I can't do this myself. And I've had a lot of people praying for me, and I appreciate it. I was told not to stand there because I'm so short. I can't. The camera can't see me, but that would be fine with me. With that thought in mind of doing something I've never done before, not that I haven't spoken to before, but just trying to get some thoughts together to do quickly what maybe, whatever the Lord wanted me to do and what Pastor wanted me to. But I'm very thankful for our church and that you're here today. The purpose of the lesson. Everybody got their sheets? Okay, the purpose of the lesson. What I had worked out was the philosophy of teaching. Lesson, and that's great, but the philosophy, we all know, has to come from God, and our philosophy has to be right. But the purpose of this lesson comes from the Great Commission, and our teaching a Bible lesson comes from the Great Commission. We all know Matthew 28 and Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1, but there's another verse that I use when I'm teaching the ladies my discipleship classes, and that's John 15:16. So the first thing you want to do when doing a Bible lesson, you want to have your Bible. Now, everything we teach comes from the Word of God. So in this, if you want to open up your Bibles to John 15, John 15, and in that verse, it says, this is another verse on the Great Commission. And in this verse, it simply is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he's telling them something. And it was very encouraging when I first found this verse in the Bible. But in verse 16 of chapter 15, it says, and the first word is ye, and that means all of you. That's plural. The King James is not hard to understand. The Holy Spirit uses his word to speak to us. And he said, ye. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to us. Because aren't we his disciples? Aren't we following him? So this is what you want the children to see, or the young people to see, whoever you're teaching, adults, that you're using the Word of God. And that's going to be repeated in my lesson. But it says, and let's read it together. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Those pronouns in there are pretty important. And he's talking to everybody, and yet he's talking to us personally. And he's given us a command and ordained us. Now, you usually think of pastors as being ordained. But God puts his hand upon us when we're saved through the Holy Spirit. And we have the ability, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. So if I don't feel like I can do something, like teach a lesson, the first thing I want to do is go to the Word of God and get some assurance. And thankfully, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we're to bear one another's burdens. And I thank the Lord for people who are praying for one another. We're praying for this conference. I've been praying for you. And I'm very, very thankful that God has allowed you to come here and maybe learn something new. Maybe you're hearing something you already know. But whatever you do, just let God speak to your heart so that he can use you to serve him. It's teaching. Now, I've got some examples of ways that you can teach. But first of all, under A, there's not enough room there to write all this, but we have two purposes for teaching, and one is evangelism. We want whoever's in our class to know Christ as their Savior. That's primary. And then B is Christian growth. We want to see them grow, don't we? We don't want them to stay immature. Now, I teach juniors at Central Baptist Church, and I love it. I never thought I'd love to teach juniors, but I do. And I taught every grade since we were in church planning. I taught everything from nursery on up. I wish I had time to tell you about the things that my husband encouraged me to do when we had our church. And one was to get the nursery involved in programs. And Christmas, our theme was This Little Light of Mine. So we went into the nursery, and I, as the pastor's wife, I helped the teacher teach the babies This Little Light of Mine. I'm gonna let it shine. You know, after 3 or 4 weeks, these little babies were holding up their finger. If they hear us start singing it, they're holding up a little finger. Now, some of them weren't babies. Some of them were like 9 months, 6 months. And it was just amazing, after time to have our program, the fathers brought their babies in. They were first. And then we sang This Little Light of Mine. The whole congregation goes, ah, because they see the influence that babies have just by that one thought. So I think it's marvelous that we have the Word of God to show us that every age group is important. Now, so the Christian growth involves a lot of things, and I call it discipleship. Of course, I love discipleship. I teach discipleship. I have one-on-one discipleship. I use discipleship everywhere I go with people that I meet and deal with. Is mostly I've got in my mind evangelism, but if they're already saved, once they get saved, then I know I want to be discipling them. Okay, so it's to have a personal time of devotion with them. The juniors in my class, I give them a notebook, and in this notebook, they have a GLOW Junior, which I left out of here. But we have a GLOW Junior, and that's a devotional book put out by GLOW Publications. And in that devotional book, it's really such rich material. I have two adults that say, would you please order me one? And I use it every day because I'm accountable to my class, but I get so much out of it. If they can start learning to spend time with the Lord, they'll develop a relationship with God and it'll draw them closer to him. Now, that's dependent on the individual. A lot of them don't do their devotions every day. Then I'm thinking, do I do my devotions every day? Well, I do, but I've been doing it over, 60-something years, so I should be doing it every day. And even one verse, I told one girl today, even one word, I said, grab you a verse. You don't have time to do devotions, grab a verse. And just think on that and meditate on that. Just even for 5 minutes, it'll strengthen you for the day. Okay, so the second Roman numeral two is the preparation of the lesson. And that always begins with prayer. I don't want to ever, reading our Bibles is God talking to us, but prayer is us talking to God. And we can't do anything without him. So we might as well give him the glory and just spend some time with him. Just take 5 minutes at least that you can do to spend with the Lord. So you have to prepare your heart. That's what spending time in prayer is, preparing your heart. And you want the lesson that you're going to teach to prepare your heart so that you'll feel it. You'll know it. The students will know it if you're teaching from your heart. And that's what you want to do. Okay. And then you want to meet the needs of each student. So pray, God, help me to meet their needs. And then for God to prepare the students' hearts to listen. You want them to take the application that you're trying to bring at the end of the lesson to reach their hearts so that they'll be able to respond to God. All right, then that's, so I pray for myself first. And then I pray for the students. Just like I prayed for you this morning, that perhaps something that's being said, maybe you knew it before, but maybe it clicks. And you go, oh yeah, I want to try that. There's so much that God can do in and through you if you're just totally surrendered to his will. All right? So since the aim that of the lesson is that each student be able to apply the truth of God's word into their own heart, the lesson should be to keep that application as the main goal of your lesson. So whatever it is, for instance, I love teaching on John 1 and just teaching John, the book of John. So one of the things that's brought out in is that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Don't you just love that? A lamb, they're so precious, they're so innocent, and God chose of all the creatures in the whole world to choose a lamb. And I can't imagine sacrificing a lamb like the Israelites had to do. I just can't imagine it. But Jesus died on the cross, didn't he, to save us from our sins. And then the verse that I like to teach with him too is from John, from Revelation, where Jesus is knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you can use, this is a Becca. And then I just type this up. It's not perfect, but it's clear. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's discipleship, really, when you think about it. Just being with God and spending time with him, because he's not only the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as John 1:29 says, he's also my Savior, and he wants to spend time with me. He wants to come in and sup with me. It reminds me of, I love to tell about Zacchaeus, and I don't have anything with me. I go to a missions conference, my husband and I, and they say, would you teach the children? I say, yes, I will. And then I use Zacchaeus, because you see, Zacchaeus came, Jesus looked up, he says, he sees me. Does Jesus see you? Do you know that Jesus sees you? Then he said, Zacchaeus, oh, he knows me. Jesus knows you. You might not have realized it, but he does. He knows all about you. And then he said, come down. What do you think Zacchaeus thought? What's that word come mean? It means he wants me. Come. If I told you to come here, you would say, oh, she needs me or she wants me. But that's probably what Zacchaeus thought. Or, and then the next one was, I want to abide at your house. Wow, he must love me. He wants to do that. So he sees me, he knows me, he wants me, he loves me. Isn't that a beautiful little outline? And children can relate to that because they're thinking all those things. So as long as you've got the Word of God, I mean, this helps to have pictures and things to relate to, but you can teach with just the Word of God. And there are other lessons in there too that you can develop to bring the same thought as long as you're reaching the students. Every one of them are important to God. and that means they're important to us. Our children are the church of today. Now, I didn't put it because I couldn't figure out how to put an X, but Ed Dunlop, who wrote, I Can't Wait Till Sunday Morning, he says, yes, wonderful book, and in it he says, children are the church of tomorrow, and then he puts an X through it, but actually they're the church of today. Don't we need them? Here's some little children that are just sitting so good and listening or watching for something, but you know, you and I know we're children of God, aren't we? And God wants us to pay attention and realize we are the church of today. Not just the little ones. The Bible lesson presented. Oh, 15 minutes. Okay. Doctrinal teaching is most important using a practical application. The Bible lesson should catch the attention of the students. Now, you're going to have some difficult students sometimes. I won't give a name because you might know who it was, but he challenged me, and he was just waiting for me to do something, and he raised his hand during the lesson. I said, I'm sorry, I can't answer your question but until at the end. Just hang on to it. I'll answer it. I don't answer during a lesson. And so afterwards, I said, okay, what was your question? He said, well, I was going to tell you that you didn't do something right, but you corrected yourself. I said, wow, wasn't I smart? I'm so glad I corrected myself. But he never challenged me again. But that was just the Holy Spirit allowing me to have an opportunity to let this young man know that he didn't get the best of me in a particular situation. But what a wonderful feeling you have when you know the Holy Spirit is helping you and encouraging you and helping you to teach others. Now, Satan wants to come to you and make you nervous, right? Yeah, I had a dear friend come just now and prayed with me before. I'm nervous, but I always am, because I want to do what's right and please God. And I think that's one reason why I get so nervous. I might not be doing that, but I want to. Okay, so you want to teach the lesson story in such a way that it catches their attention. And then with the desire to motivate them to a decision in their hearts. We already talked about that. So now you're teaching them what you've prayed about. If that's been your prayer, that's what's going to be what's going to come out. Use your Bible. I already said that. Establish that the lesson, that this word is God's word and it's true. He never lies. My granddaughter struggled with salvation. She was 5 years old, and we're talking about salvation, and she just looked so sad. And I come to her and I say, "And how about you, Carol Lee?" And she says, "I've asked him many times to save me now, but he just hasn't done it." But later, her mom talked to her, and she said, "Carol Lee, do you believe God can lie?" She goes, "No." "Well, if you ask him to save you, do you think he says no?" "No." And she said, "Well, did you ask him to save you?" She goes, "Yes. That means I'm saved just because I'm trusting in what God told me to do." Yeah. So she goes over salvation with her. Isn't that marvelous? You know, even children, young children. How many of you were saved in here younger than 5? Anybody? Okay, my daughter was 4. Believe that? Anybody saved younger than 9? Okay, that's a lot of you. How about 10 or 11? Okay. And older than that? Okay. Doesn't matter when, so long as you know that you're saved. That's the important thing. And that's what we want to get across to these children. Okay, so use your students to help you read the scripture, if they can. If they're kindergarten and under, they might not be reading. But if you can, I have my students read the scripture, and then we might talk about it or discuss it, or I might ask them to raise their hands. Okay, another method that I have, or that I've been taught, I should say, is this, and I give Mrs. Townsley the credit for this. She taught me this one. It's just having this, I forgot what it's called. It's a visual. It's a chart. It's a pocket chart. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. So I take this, like we study in John chapter 1, my lesson takes me back to the Old Testament. And we study about who Jesus is in the tabernacle. And so we see that Jesus is from Genesis 3:15, or even before, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we study it. Now, this is just a simple plan that we have. And I use pocket charts a lot. I have a smaller one. This is the bigger one. Aha! Well, praise the Lord. It's still hanging on the back there. So that's one method. And of course, you have the regular flannel graph. And this is a homemade flannel graph board that I took this flannel and put over it for the Betty Lukens. And when you're teaching, really should have it in place before you get, before you teach it. Be good. And I did have it there. When you, let me go by my outline or I'll forget something. You can make an outline before while you're studying your plans. This is just an outline I took out of Brother Dunlap's book, but I liked it, so it has a place. If you want a copy of this, I have a sign-up sheet over there for three things. This is just your lesson plan, how you can put it down and how you can study for it. It has places for you to put your main points, point of application, how you're going to close out with it. And then there's the resources, which they didn't run off for me. I'm sorry they didn't. I had the sheet there, but it wasn't done. But if you want a copy of this, just let me sign that sheet over there and I'll get it. There's four things, I think. And then I have junior class lesson plans for 2 years. So I alternate as much as I can. Sometimes we have special campaigns, and I try to follow whatever pastor's doing or incorporate it in with my lesson. And that has taught me a lot, doing things we've never done before. Yeah. So this is for 2 years, and I kind of alternate it. And I go by months, and we study different things. We have missions month. We study the lives of missionaries. One of the things I love to do, I needed a lesson. We were in New York, at a church in New York, and they wanted me to teach a mission lesson. I'm going, I didn't bring anything with me. And she said, I have a book here. It's called The Price of a Coconut. And it's the missionary story of O.L. King. And he went to the Caribbean as a missionary, but it talks about his life. So she gave me, I said, I need a visual. I need something. So she gave me these little cards and hard brown paper. It looked like a coconut. I tried to make it a coconut. And I made the story up so I could tell the lesson about the price of a coconut. And he went to the West Indies. That's where he went. And then he had a choice one day of buying a New Testament for 10 cents or buying a coconut. And he loved coconut. And I took a real coconut. I finally hammered it, got it cut in piece, because I wanted each one of my students to have a piece of a real coconut, right? That was the first time I did it. Later I learned they'll do it in the store if you ask them, so I did that better. But anyway, during this lesson, I told about it. Well, he gave this, the Lord told him not to buy the coconut, but to, when he went down the street, he saw a New Testament in the window. He said, buy the New Testament. So God told him to buy the New Testament. He did. And when he came out, he gave it to, I'm rushing through this, I'm sorry. He gave it to this little boy who looked like he needed something. And later, O.L. King was asked to speak at the church in that area where his grandparents lived. And he asked them to raise their Bibles up. And I put my Bible down. Okay. He asked them to raise it up. And he saw the New Testament. And in it, he asked the young man to afterwards, he said, you know, where did you get the New Testament? And he said, and he told him the story, and he looked at him, he said, look at me closely. I'm the man that gave you that New Testament. He said, well, look around at this church, because most of the people in here are saved because of this New Testament. And if I tell you the story, how he took it home and his mother read it until she'd finished all of it, it was like midnight or after when they got through reading it, she got saved, his father got saved, and then his neighbors came in, and all she did was read the New Testament over and over and over again. Wasn't that amazing? And that's the story. And he ended up being a missionary going to the little boy ended up being a missionary. He didn't go to the West Indies, though, and right now my mind is blank. Oh, Indonesia. Okay, there he goes. I just should look at my pictures. And then O.L. King went to the West Indies. So you and I, we don't know what we can do with one child's testimony or just obeying God. But he didn't know about that till years later. So I made this, and you can make your own too. If you don't have the resources with you, you can use, I've used poster board, I've used cardboard, I've used all kinds of things to make for a visual for people to see. Okay, but most important, you need your Bible. This Miss Schultz loaned me. I love it. I got to get it copied for myself. But what do you think about your Bibles? Some Bibles may not be happy coming to church because of the way you use them or abuse them. And that's what this lesson's about. So I just wanted to thank her for that. But it's very important that children love their Bibles. I try not to put anything on top of my Bible. I try to treat it like it's my best friend. And it is. I mean, God wants us to hide it in our hearts. But the physical book is really like a friend. I feel sorry for you if you use a cell phone all the time. Now, I do use it, especially if I want to, verse, where is that verse? I just type it in and it tells me right where that verse is. I love that. But it's not where I get my, I've tried having devotions with it. It's not the same. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but this book is important for them to see and know that it's true and God's word is powerful. Okay, you can use note cards too. You can use almost anything. I had some note cards here. I think I overdo it. But I guess it's better to have something overdone than nothing. Yeah, here they are. I love Betty Lukens. If you get a chance, if you don't have it, and you're teaching children, it's really wonderful. This is just... here we are. I taught Zacchaeus. I made this up. This was Zacchaeus. He wants me. He sees me. And I'll put it up there, but I put it in order. And it just helps the kids to really see. So I just figured I better make that up and take it with me wherever I go. I use chalkboard or dry erase board to put things on there. And let's see if I can get through this. These are the teaching aids that I'm showing you now. You can use the chalkboard or the dry erase boards. They come in really handy. I put, for my class, we have prayer requests. We put them on the board. I ask them to come in and write it on there for, you know, before class. Some don't get there in time, but we end up praying, writing them up if we can. You want to develop characters. That's D. You want to make them real. Like Zacchaeus was a real man. And my husband used to start his messages a lot of times saying, you know why I'm so short? And I've used that in my Sunday school class too. I said, do you know why I'm so short? And he would say, because God doesn't make men like me any longer. And you're not going to get, but you may be growing. Yeah. But Zacchaeus was short. And he wanted to see Jesus. And I might ask him, do you want to see Jesus? You don't have to climb up in a sycamore tree, but you need to open your Bible and let him talk to you. And he'll tell you that he sees you, he wants you, he loves you. So I like to use that too sometimes. This right here, I love the flannel graph. One of the things I like best about it is, well, it's difficult. I don't like that. Getting it in and out of church. But kids do relate to a visual. And I love to tell the lesson about the thieves on the cross and how one wanted Jesus to come off the cross and save him. Well, that wouldn't have happened because Jesus determined that he had to die, didn't he? To pay for our sins. And the other one said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I love to teach that because it shows the boys and girls they need to make a decision. Okay. If you want any of those things over there, you're welcome to go and sign up, and we'll try to get them copied. In conclusion, I'm just going to finish this, even though it's through. The impact of learning biblical truths when young develops strong Christian character. God records for us that King Josiah, he was only 8 years old when he became king. He said, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God. So, God bless you. I hope and pray this has been an encouragement to your help, and we'll go be ready so the next section can come in and see. So if you want anything, you can sign up on the table. You can look at some of the other resources there that I use. If you have any questions about it, just let me know.